looking at this evening. Are you a disciple of Christ? There's a lot of folks out there claiming to be a disciple, and they maybe not are. And I want to clarify tonight what a disciple is. There's different degrees, if you will, of a disciple. And we're going to see some of that. There's the beginning, the intermediate, and then the true disciple that followed him and followed Christ. Now, Matthew 4, verse 18, jump down there, if you will. And you recall, those of you know your Bibles, all of you do, but this is the beginning of the ministry of Christ. And it says, verse 18, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting the net into the sea, for they were fishers. He saith unto them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Going on from thence, he saw their two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. They immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. He goes on to talk about all that they did. Notice chapter 5, if you will, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, notice his disciples came unto him. Now, looking at this evening, are you a disciple of Christ? I look around and know that I think everyone in here is a child of God. You're saved. Probably some of our children, obviously, not quite yet there. But are you a disciple? There's a difference now. And I was thinking about this being one of his, being one of Christ. You remember back in school days, some of you, you remember back that far, and you remember trying to fit in. You remember those days? Trying to fit in, trying to be one of them. And I think it was Winston Churchill, he said, when I was in my 20s, I was so concerned about what people thought about me. When I was in my 40s, I didn't care what people thought about me. When I got into my 50s and 60s, I realized no one was even thinking about me, right? No one cared. And sometimes you're like that. I'm getting more to that stage of where you're going. You're getting out of that. I wonder what people think about me. And to the chagrin of my wife sometimes, because I embarrass her by what I say. But anyways, you're trying to fit in. You're trying to be one of them, one of the disciples. And you know the story. You know how it went in Scripture, how that he called the disciples. And he began his earthly ministry with the call of Peter and Andrew, James and John. And he calls them there his disciples. Now you know that. The word translated disciple simply means a student, a pupil, or a learner. And so in this respect, anyone who show interest in the things of Christ could be a disciple, right? Anybody. And you think about it. We're trying constantly to learn, to understand Christ, wanting to know more of him. You ever read through the Bible, maybe in your devotion time, and read something? You go, I never knew that was there. I never knew that was in the Bible. Oh, and my friends, God is constantly working in our lives to draw us nigh to him. You know that. But are we a student? A student. I don't know about you, but I was not a very good student. How many in here were a good student in school? Okay, Miss Stephanie, Adam. Oh, Miss. Okay, she was a good student. Some of you, Belle's a good student. Claire, you're a good student. Yes, all right. Not a very good student, not a very good listener, and I won't go into detail. Okay, let's skip some of that. And so we see here, understanding some of that, the words commitment and surrender are two different words. Now, we're going to see this in a minute. Now, listen to this here. Basically, commitment, regardless of how deep it may be, it still leaves me in charge and in control, doesn't it? I'm committed. But notice the word surrender. Surrender means that I yield control of myself to another, complete control. Now, we said this on Sunday. Jesus Christ and Satan are diametrically opposed, obviously, right? And what was one of the main differences? Jesus Christ said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He had complete surrender to God the Father, didn't he? Complete. Satan was the exact opposite. Isaiah 14 says what? I will ascend up. I will exalt myself above the stars. I will. Completely the opposite. You see that. Now, my friends, tonight, are you a disciple? One true mark of a disciple is complete surrender or submission. I prefer the word submission. Now, this deeper level of discipleship deals with my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, it goes far beyond him being my Savior. We know some people that are saved, but that's about it, right? You know some people like that? They're saved. That's it. They're saved, and now they're going to sit, sulk, and sour, and wait till Jesus to return. And that ought not be right. We know that. We ought to be saved and continuously growing. And hopefully, I'll get to talk about this maybe at another time, but the growth that we obtain should be the growth that we retain, right? We need to retain it, keep it. I don't know if you're like me, but I make a couple steps forward by faith or do something. I feel like, man, I'm growing in God. And then I'll take a step backwards. It's so discouraging, isn't it? You go, nuts, how could I have done that? I can't take a step back. God desires for his disciples to retain the growth they've obtained. Now, we see here, let's look at a couple stages, if you will, or different levels of a disciple. Number one, there's the seekers. The seekers. This is the beginning of discipleship. Now, in the beginning here, chapter 5, you see his disciples came unto him. In the beginning, Jesus had a lot of disciples, didn't he? And you know later in John 6, it says many went away from Christ. When they heard what he had to say, nah, I don't want that. I want all the benefits of Christ. I want him to bless my life and protect my marriage and keep me from disease and not let me have bad financial year, but I don't want to follow him the way he wants, right? The seekers, it's the beginning. Today, there's a popular terminology, if you will, called the seeker-sensitive movement. Seeker-sensitive. And a lot of churches have that. What do you want as a member? What do you want? Yeah, we ought to have a say in things, absolutely. But there's churches, as you know and I know, that have gone far beyond that. And they're letting things go on that shouldn't, unbiblical things. They're seeker-sensitive. Some are merely curious. There are those who are honestly seeking more for their lives. What they have is not satisfying. They believe truly there must be more to this life. They could be called disciples because a disciple is a learner, a student, one who wants to be taught of Christ. And notice what happens with these seekers. They watched his miracles. His miracles. The miracles were to confirm his person and his message. Again, you know that. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus out in the open and wanted everyone to know. Is that what happened? It says, came to Jesus by night. He was fearful. He was an undercover agent. We've said it. God doesn't want undercover agents. He doesn't want Secret Service Christians. He wants bold individuals. The same came to Jesus by night. Said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou do except God be with him. So they watched his miracles. They saw him do these things. They were convinced, if you will. Secondly, they listened to his teachings. It was new. It was refreshing. I thought about this today. Prior to Matthew 5 in the Bible, nobody had ever preached like Jesus Christ, had they? Nobody. There were the prophets of the Old Testament. Boy, they preached one message, and it was, thus saith the Lord, wasn't it? What God spoke. They were just an instrument. You had a person right prior and a contemporary with Christ in John the Baptist. But what did he preach? He was straightforward, not mincing words. Repent! The kingdom of God's at hand. And then comes Jesus on the scene. And he starts making statements here in chapter 5. He speaks of the Beatitudes. And then he goes into, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Right? And he goes on and he begins to teach in a way that is very applicable and very helpful to the hearer. They listened to his teaching. It was new. It was fresh. And it says, and at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. What was his doctrine? For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. All the scribes said what? Here's what God said. Here's what the Lord wants us to do. And Jesus said, I say unto you. I say. And it's a good day in your life and a good day in my life when we come to the fact, to the matter, when we trust Christ and his word. It's his word alone that we follow. It's him alone. They listened to his teaching. They watched his miracles. But notice, thirdly, they were challenged by his message. It was unique, exciting. It was stimulating to the intellect. It was refreshing. It was challenged. Now, there's a lot of people in church today that are challenged by the message and challenged by the word, but they're not changed. They're not changed. And there's a problem with that in a lot of churches. They're challenged. Oh, I want to go hear that message. Oh, I'm so challenged by it. But sir or ma'am, are you changed by it? You've got to be changed. There's got to be evident change in your life. And again, that comes through being a true disciple, submitting ourselves to him. But let me say, fourthly, many then were turned off by his demands. They were turned off. Let's go to John chapter 6. I want you to notice this with me in John 6. And we've been through this just recently, a couple months ago, but many of those disciples were turned off by his commands. John 6, let's go let's go down to verse 66, all the way down there. John 6 and verse 66. And again, I said before, but isn't it interesting that the 666 of the Bible is this verse? From that time, many of his disciples went back. Notice the word disciples, not followers, not those that would come occasionally. Many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? Now notice that these were the disciples. These were not just Joe Blow off the street. They were not just here on Sunday and miss every other service. They were not just the here a little, there a little. They were disciples. They were the ones that had followed, watched the miracles, listened to his word. They were turned off by his demands. One, they liked his miracles and they liked the new message. They liked to be taught by Christ, but they did not like his exclusive requirements. That's so true today. Hasn't changed, has it? They were turned off by his exclusive requirements. About 2 or 3 years ago, was sharing the gospel with a man, and I told him about this, and he said he was a Christian, a believer, but he didn't believe according to our way of thinking. And he made the statement of, I don't believe Jesus is the only way. You guys have heard somebody like that before, all right? And you go, well, let me explain to you. For me, I immediately go to John 14, and as Jesus himself spoke and said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am. There's no other way. His exclusive requirement. And again, that man did not like that. He did not agree with that. And I didn't make very much headway with them either. But his exclusive requirements. He's exclusive. Now, Jesus fed the crowd, as you know, in John 6 with physical bread. He then reminded them that he had come to give them the spiritual bread from heaven. He was that bread of life. Verse 48. He came down from heaven to give life. Verse 51. He told them, except ye eat my flesh, drink my blood, they would have no life in them. Verse 53. He then pressed for a decision, didn't he? Will you follow? Many were merely curious, turned aside rather than receive him as their Savior. And when you come to Christ and we share the gospel with people, we often will say that. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you accept Christ as the only way? Well, I do, but we've talked to Catholic people before. I do, but there's this way and that way too. I've got to do penance, and I've got to do confession, and I've got to do this. But you say, is Jesus the only way? Do we show you? Did we clearly lay out for you what the gospel is? And you folks know that. But they were turned off by his demands. Turned off. And you heard the story before. I think I've shared it, but a pastor told me once, and he was on an airplane. He was trying to share the gospel with a lady next to him. And he was going on and on. And she says, well, I understand all of that. She said, let me ask you a question, though, that's bothered me for many years. And that's what gave Jesus the exclusive right to claim he's the only way, the truth, and the life. What makes Jesus so exclusive? And the pastor thought about it for a minute and he said, well, ma'am, he's the only person in human history who said, they will kill me and I'll rise again and to do it. And to do it. Isn't that true? Only man. And we understand all of that, but you think about it, the exclusive requirement. Turned off. They were turned off. Let me say here, number two. Then there was the convinced, the intermediate stage. Now there were those among the seekers who will believe the truth and receive Christ as their only Savior. They begin with having their intellect stirred by curiosity. They came to Jesus out of curiosity. They said, hey, did you hear about the guy handing out free bread? He turned bread. He made a little basket, gave it to thousands. Fish and gave it to thousands. And people came out of curiosity. A lot of people today come to Jesus out of curiosity. They listened to the truth and became convinced. They became convinced. The beginning of miracles Jesus did, John chapter 2, with that wedding, as you recall, and he turned those water pots into wine, and they became convinced. Thirdly, they confessed their belief in him. They confessed it. They saw who he was. They convinced and said, thou art the Christ. Now, as we're in John chapter 6, notice what Peter says. Then verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words, notice again, plural, of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ. You want to underline that word, that. That Christ and the Son of the living God. You're the Son of the living God. You're that Christ of the Old Testament. You're that Christ that everyone talked about. You're not a Christ, you're that Christ. So they were convinced. They confessed their belief in him. Can I encourage you with those around you to press them in a loving, kind way, in a patient way, but press them for a decision. Son, daughter, friend, mother, whoever it is, you need to make a decision about Christ. You need to make a decision about who he is, because there's so many that are in the beginning stage of discipleship, but they're not convinced. They're not convinced. Thou art that Christ. Now, you know, Peter would go on and he would suffer a martyr's death and he would go through some difficulty. He would have some trouble there at the crucifixion, but he would go on to serve Christ until the end. He truly believed thou art the Christ. So there's the convinced. Let me say thirdly here, there's the committed. There's truly the committed. The first step to seriously becoming a disciple, the seekers who had become convinced would have to make a commitment. A commitment. I think about that. I was asked one time to go, and I really didn't want to do it. I was asked to go skydiving. We were serving out in California, and asked to go skydiving. And I kindly, you know, without being a wimp, I said, no, I'm busy that day. Sorry, you know, I ain't doing that. Anyone ever been skydiving? Anyone ever been bungee jumping? Anything like that? A couple of you? Nobody? Maybe? Oh, yeah, you had maybe some. Okay. I can't do that stuff. But I thought, you got to be committed. You know, you jump out of that plane, pull the cord. That cord don't work, pull the backup cord. That cord don't work, just close your eyes. You're going to wake up in glory land. You know, you're gone. You know, heard about the old lady that decided to go skydiving for her, I think it was 90th birthday or something. And she decided she was ready to go. And the guy said, now when you jump out of the plane, remember the rules we taught you. Remember everything we taught you. Yeah, I got it. You pull the red cord. If the red cord don't work, pull the backup cord, okay? If that don't work, okay, you're out of luck, you know. And so she jumped out of the plane, pulled the cord, nothing happened. She thought, okay, what do I do now, you know? She pulled the backup cord, nothing happened. She thought, ah. Oh. She looked down at the ground and said, great, I bet the pickup truck's not going to be there to get me either, you know. She wasn't all there, but, you know, there's total commitment from this disciple. And you folks, I know, I think, boy, all of you folks served Christ for decades and decades, and so thankful for your testimony, so thankful for your commitment. But there were days in your service to God when you thought, this is too much. There's drama at the church, there's problems here, there's issues with the kids, there's all kinds of stuff, you know, the adversary throws at us. And your commitment level starts to wane, but thank God that you stay committed. True disciples. A true disciple stays committed. Now, a disciple is one who has a consuming passion for the person of Christ, one whose heart is set upon him, one who has an unshakable confidence in his word and is completely committed to him in service. The intellectuals have not this. They only have a curiosity, not a passion for God. And so as we see this, let me say here fourthly, then there's the fully surrendered. There's the committed, but there's the fully surrendered. These are the true disciples of Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, let's go back to Matthew 26 here and we'll wrap it up. And Matthew 26, at the close here of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 26, let's jump down to verse 33. 26:33, Peter answered, said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said, notice this, all the disciples. Peter gets a bad rap, doesn't he? He was the one out front. All the disciples said the same thing. Oh, though they did not, everyone denied it, not me, Lord. All the disciples went, yeah, me too, yeah. Well, what happened? Jesus went out of that garden alone, didn't he? Alone. Now we know John followed suit and was there and all of that, but all of them, it says, dispersed. They're fully surrendered. I'm talking about a true disciple. Are you a true disciple tonight? Simon Peter was definitely committed. Now notice here, we see again the difference in commitment and surrender. Commitment, regardless of how deep it may, still leaves me in charge. But surrender means I yield control of myself to another. Peter had every intention of following his Lord even unto death. He had missed something, though. He thought he could do this on his own power. You ever been there? Do it on your own power. I can do this, Lord. I can be committed. I can overcome that temptation and that pride and that problem. You can't do it unless you're fully surrendered to him, yielding yourself. John was fully surrendered. I like that. John seems to be the only one who had gotten hold of this before the crucifixion. Now, he ran momentarily, we know, but he came back, obviously, followed Jesus to the trial, and he was present at the foot of the cross during the crucifixion. He was present. You know that. Jesus looked down and said, what? Behold thy mother, thy brother. He was the only one there, in a lot of ways. And all else forsook him and fled. John was committed. Are you committed tonight? Are you surrendered, fully surrendered to him? There must be clear identification with Christ in his shameful death on the cross. That's something hard to do. We look back at the cross now, and we think of it as a glorifying thing. And it is. We praise God for the cross. But it was a shameful thing, wasn't it? Embarrassing. We have children here tonight, so we can't explain some of the details of what the Romans would do to an individual. Sickening, perverted things to that man naked up there on that cross. Sick. And we see shameful. And to identify with that was shameful. But John said what? I'm fully surrendered. I'm fully yielded to him. And so we understand and see that. He was fully surrendered. There must be identification with Christ. There must be denial of self, giving up goals, giving up ambitions, desires of life. And by the way, we said before, but when you give all of that over, people think, well, I don't want to give up all my dreams and hopes and goals for life to serve Christ. That's not how it works. When you give your life to him, he enhances all of that, doesn't he? Those talents that you have, those dreams you have for the future, do you know he wants to use those? He put those within you so that he can use those for his honor, for his glory. And so we see here, all of that, you give it to him. There must be sacrifice of will, right to the family and life, and all material possessions. There must be an absolute placing of Christ first in your life, or you can't be a disciple. You can't do it. He'll say later in Luke, and let me turn over there before I misquote it. Luke 9, oh, I think it's verse 23. Yes, Luke 9, 23, listen, he says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Isn't that interesting? That's a complete polar opposite of the world, isn't it? You take your life and keep it, hold on to all your money, possessions, and all those things, and boy, maybe you'll make it to the end and you'll get scot-free. No. Jesus said, give it all away, surrender all of it, and you'll find life. You'll find it. Now, think through this. Come after me, deny himself, take up his cross daily. It's a daily thing. It's a habitual thing that you do to serve him. All right, I'll stop there for tonight. Are you a disciple? Are you fully surrendered? We got to be helping those that are seeking, those that are even committed to Christ. We got to say, hey, take the next step and become a disciple of Christ. Follow through, completely through. You will not regret one day that you gave to Christ, not one. And you think about all of that, those things you did for him. Oh, my friends, I think through that. I'm so thankful. I was thinking today, but I truly am sitting or standing here today before you because of many of these individuals right here. And I'm so thankful for you folks, all of you. And I'm so thankful for you, dear folks, that are faithful here to our church and all that you do. But God, you'll never regret one day you served Christ for him. Amen? Okay, I'll stop there. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much again. And we praise you. I pray that, Father, you would bless our week as we continue it out, Lord. And I know that those here tonight are so busy. They have so many things going. And God, they're committed people. They're surrendered people to you. I ask that you'd bless their lives, Lord. Watch over them. Be with our fathers in here. Be with our grandfathers. And keep them, as I've been praying, Lord, for each one. Watch over them. Give them the strength, Lord, to lead their families, their grandchildren. I pray, Father, for the mothers and grandmothers in here that you would please use them this week to, Lord, work with the children, help them and guide them to be the committed, surrendered disciple for you, being a testimony. And be with those here, Father, our children especially. Again, we pray each week that if any know you not as their Savior, God, that you would begin to work in their lives, that they would make that decision very quickly. And Lord, you'd bless our church. Watch over us now. Be with us the rest of the week, as I said, in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.